What is Qigong and how can it help you have a confident and calm life, as the title of this podcast proclaims? You will find the answers in this podcast series with host, the confidence coach, Susan Axelrod, and co-host, Nadine Searle, the calmer self coach. Qigong is an ancient Chinese practice of mindfulness, but it's so much more. Called internal medicine, it is said that using the practice of Qigong can create an elixir within. Could this be true? In this podcast series, this truth will be explored by two practitioners, one former type A and one former self-professed people pleaser. Dr. Roger Yonka calls Qigong one of the most eloquent, poetic, and effective tools in our quest for personal breakthrough and peace of mind. Your podcast hosts, Susan and Nadine, agree. Qigong can be a new tool in your personal health practice kit. Join them for this conversation that may just change your life.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of this wonderful podcast series. I have been enjoying my conversation with my co-host, Nadine Searle. Nadine, hello. How are you today?
Hello, Susan. Yes, I'm very well today, thank you. And I'm loving this too. These conversations are they're really touching my heart, and it's wonderful just to be able to share this with everyone, isn't it? It's brilliant. So thank you for inviting me to join you on this.
It truly is. We have been talking about such important things. I don't think I'm being melodramatic or really going overboard to say that the things we've been discussing really can change your life because Nadine and I are both examples of exactly this. So today's episode is titled, How Can Body Movement Support Your Confident and Calm Life? Today, we are talking about one of the practices inside Qigong that has been very eye-opening for me, but also honestly extraordinary. So the idea of body movement is not new to me. I have been a type A. I have always been on the go. And even when I worked in a hospital, people could always say, oh, I recognized your footsteps tapping on the hallway floor. And so movement has always been a part of my life. However, the movement was different. It felt a little frenzied. It felt, like I had to be going fast in order to be productive, to get to where I was going. This was absolutely my hallmark, Nadine. People knew this about me. I spoke quickly. I walked quickly. I got things done quickly. If you wanted to get shit done, I was the person to get it done for you. Over the course of my own personal journey to enlightenment, as I call it, to the light from the dark side, I did learn to slow down my speech pattern. I did learn to slow down my body, to slow down my mind, and to invoke a more still way of being. So this is why it's called a practice, isn't it, Nadine?
It so is. It so is. And you really do have to be in it, feel it. And the practice is where the magic happens. That's what I feel, is that, the more that you do practice the movements, practice, like you say, you've changed the way you speak, becoming aware and putting these things into practice does change. If someone says to you, yes, if you slow down your voice, then you'll be heard better. You'll actually, people will take notice and you will feel better. One thing saying it, but when you actually do it, you go, oh, yes, that's right. You feel it. So the movement, the practice is actually where it's all at, isn't it? Because you're not going to know until you give it a go.
The body movement that I have learned about inside the Qigong practices has been curious to me. So, what I've learned is the benefit of doing the body movements, which are slow and repetitive. And in the sessions that I've, been a part of, and in my own learning, I have worked to understand the slowness of the body movement of these body practices and how important it is to do it and do it and do it and do it. And I said to you off camera, Nadine, you know, it could be seen as so boring to just be standing there doing these repetitive, simple, slow motions. And when you are a type A, when you're busy, to jump into these repetitive, very slow motions might be a little difficult. So I want to invite you to share your experience with this, of how you really learned to, you know, really commit to these types of body movement or motions.
It's really interesting. And again, I love these conversations because it's reminding me what I was like at the start of all this. And it was a long time ago. But I remember, obviously, when I went along to classes, I didn't know what I was doing. So I was watching and I was like learning. So that was quite a lovely thing to do, getting it. And then starting to get the feeling of the moment to go, oh, I feel I know what I'm doing now. There was a little bit of me going, oh, before I started the classes, this was at the beginning of a class, I go, oh, it's going to be a bit boring. It would enter my head, but actually it never was, because once you're in those movements, you're just in another place, and it's so beautiful. And then taking the practice into my own day-to-day life and doing it wherever I am, at home, whatever, then again to go, oh, really, you know, it's that kind of, maybe with any kind of exercise routine, and this is not exercise, but it's movement, isn't it? Maybe there's always that little thought, but once you start, again, you're in that wonderful flow. And I really feel that it is all about repeating it. It's all about, if you just did a movement once, what you're getting, you do it again. You do it again. I don't know how many times you repeat things, but on my daily practice, I do it 6 times and then I do a different move. That's what I do. And it's really funny because, again, you reminded me when I was actually learning and copying the teacher in the class, she would purposely slow us down. She go, no, we're going to do that a bit slower. And we do it again. And I go, I want to move on. I know what's coming next. I want to move on. So there was that little bit of impatience in my mind. But the very practice of it changed that in the moment. And that I was so grateful for, because it really was. And when I did start this as a practice, going to classes, I was in that busy. I never let myself stop. So to have that hour, it was once a week when I started, to just go, I'm just going to do something beautiful and slow and repetitive. Oh, wow, what a relief. It was lovely. So there is definitely a place. And this is where, you know, it's kind of reminds me of when you just have that simple drumming, you know, you just get with it. You go into a different place, don't you? It's, you know, drumming is exactly the same over and over again, chanting, that kind of thing. You know, it's very, very simple. It's very basic. It almost hits a basal nerve, doesn't it? Something in us, primal, I don't know. And it's what we need. We need to reconnect with that, don't we?
Yeah. In our last episode, we talked about the three ways of being: the mind, the body, and the spirit or soul. And really, it came up for me again, just as you were describing your own journey on this path. And, you know, I'm in the early stages of these classes that you just said, oh, I forgot about that. Yes. And so, yes, they remind you to slow it down. There's a reason you're slowing it down. But I could be talking about not 6 times, Nadine, but 6 minutes.
Yes.
The same movement, the up, the rise, and fall, the rise and fall. And in the beginning, even though I'm Miss Zen now, I didn't understand what was happening. Why is this going on so long? It seems like too long. It seems like, you know, what's happening here. But as I have engaged in the practice of it, you don't start off skiing black diamond slopes, Nadine. You don't start off as the first chair in violin. That's not how it works. This really, truly is a practice in what I call your personal health practice, a toolkit to support the life that you want to have, a healthier, more vital, confident, calm, secure, and well life.
Yes.
And so if you, you know, join us on this podcast series, if you listen to these conversations, if you just invoke some of these things, the slow rise and fall. Now, in the teaching of it, there's energy within that you're literally invoking. Right? There's this energy within that's coursing through you that as you learn, you can experience such that now, even though I have not been doing these practices of the nature of we're talking about the body movement, Nadine, in an earlier episode, we talked about the sweeping gesture, right?
Yeah.
We talked about the sky above, the earth below, and how we are the third treasure perfectly positioned in between, so that now, because of the practice, I can do one of those sweeping gestures and I can invoke the energy of the sky and I can invoke the beauty, the, you know, energy of the earth. And these body movements that you will learn as part of this process are all moving and supporting the energy, but also, Nadine, they are moving and supporting your physical and physiological body.
Yes.
So again, as Nadine and I have shared, and it's a vital part of our discussion about Qigong, that all practices don't use the same terms.
Yes. Yeah.
They're not all described the same way. But one of the practices that I've been taught is called swaying bamboo, where you actually go down on one side and you let your arm drop to the other side very slowly. And I've learned that this and other movements actually support your spine, Nadine, the actual discs in between your spine. Have you learned about the physiology and the physical as part of the movement?
Yes, again, I didn't to start with. It wasn't said to me, it wasn't that important. It was something that I learned later on, because you can still benefit from this without knowing all of that. And that's great. And sometimes I think that might be better. But I learned that all of the movements, as I say, I practice the Shibashi set one, which is 18 moves, and that's what I do daily. And they are all designed. You have moved every bit of your body. You have had that flow of your chi, your energy, through every organ. It's important that actually, it was really lovely to actually think, oh, I've done that. And that is, it's almost like a massage, that you've given yourself a massage, because your energy has flown through all of these different parts. So the physical side of it is very refreshing, actually, in such a gentle, beautiful way. But I'd like to say, on your point, actually, of doing a movement for a lot longer, one movement for a lot longer, you really go somewhere deeper when you do that. Again, like the meditation that I've done, and I remember again stepping into meditation, the first meditation I went to that was hours long. I was terrified. I thought, I don't know how I'm going to cope with this. I went somewhere completely different. It was amazing. So again, with the movements, if you do repeat one movement over and over, the process of where you're, again, those three, you know, heart, mind, body, soul, where we go to is somewhere different, and that opening up and everything. So the repetitive slowness of it is where it is so beautiful. And this is what I can't stress it enough to people, you know. Yes, you might feel, and I used to quite often go, oh, I haven't got time. I can still do it now in the morning. I do my practice in the morning. You can do it anytime, but it fits in with my lifestyle. It starts me off really well to do it in the morning. And sometimes I go, oh, I just skip that or a rush. And no, I don't want to. Once I start the movements, I want to go even slower and take longer. So I will actually sometimes just go, I'm just staying with this one for a little while, because actually it's feeling good. Or some of the little moves. There's one that's called bounce single ball, and I just love it. She just goes like that, and I can do it. Oh, I've done 20 of those. It doesn't matter. It's just lovely. It's really lovely.
Exactly. And Again, I want to invite people to play this back and listen to what Nadine just shared with us. I too, only one time, Nadine, but I experienced a long meditation. I went because a friend was doing it and I was there to support her. But honestly, I went in full spirit. I went, you know, with full commitment, and I decided to do it, you know, being actually involved and engaged, because I was going. And it was exactly as you described. I was shocked to find how laying in that position or sitting in that position, going deep in and being guided for an extended period of time can really help you drop in. Mm-hmm. I could feel a little energy out in the world of busy, type A people who are overwhelmed with life as it is today, natural disasters happening, former traumas that they've never released, et cetera, how it could feel hard for them. And I think that I want to really call out one of the things that you said, which was, you don't have to know how it works, but we invite you to practice, to try, to explore, to get curious, to imagine the possibilities, which is my Confident Life tagline, that there could be something out there that would support you to feel better every day. Now, I wanted to address, Nadine, what you said about your 18-point movement. And then you said the one you call it bouncing the ball, where you find yourself just doing it over and over, because really you're creating this own little meditative space for you in doing it. And there's one where that I'm familiar with, which is where you're creating an energy ball. So it's not
that.
Bouncing, but it's in and out, and you know, really imagining that there's a ball of light, a ball of energy in there, and it's so beautiful. And for others who are a little bit more advanced, for others who already have meditative practices, mindfulness practices, I want to invite you to just explore some of this, to go deeper for yourself in these practices and with these principles. So, Nadine, the thing that you also mentioned, I had written it down. It says overcoming boredom of the movements, because for me, I'm not all done. I'm not fully cooked yet in that. But I really want to say thank you for, because you are a long-term practitioner of this, for reminding me that the longer that you can be in that energy, that the more beautiful the medicine within is being released in you.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's the thing to remember, the more times you do something, then it is actually, you are just going along a path, if you like, you know, you're getting deeper. And when you say that Alexa, that I call it like the Alexa of breath, you know, how beautiful a breath is when you really focus. So when you take one breath, that's great. Then you do it again, and you do it again with that mindful, with that attention, whatever way you want to look at it, or just letting yourself go into the flow of it. You are going, you know, by the time you've done your 10th or 100th breath, it's feeling better, it's more powerful, it's giving you more. So this is the thing, to actually go with that and experiment it, because again, you won't know till you feel it. And I was lucky, it was that I got the feeling first. And for me, I would say lucky, for me, that's a good way for me to do things. Because I could have read a book and I still wouldn't have got it. But it is actually, for me, I was just doing it and feeling it without understanding it. And again, you know, to encourage everyone to just give it a go, because that feeling you will get it quite quickly, and then you can just expand on that. And I do find, you know, just one thing over and over again, it's so calming, it's so soothing, it's so healing, just to repeat, you know. Tribal people have done it so much, haven't they, you know, the same thing over and over. We've lost that in our busy lives, haven't we? You know, we don't do these things.
Well,
so it's lovely to revisit, isn't it?
It is indeed. And guess who else does it? Athletes. How many times
course,
did Michael
yes.
Jordan stand at the line and shoot the baskets.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
How many times has a teacher stood in front of the room and shared the same lessons over and over? I mean, having longevity of commitment and skill or practice is what leads to the skill. Mm. So as you know, I write notes when we're talking, and you talked about, you said, I was watching and learning and copying, and then I felt I knew what I was doing. Mm. And that is one of the reasons that I will be teaching Qigong, Nadine, is that I was one of those people before who was never able to invoke these types of things myself, to have the discipline in an area that was unfamiliar to me, to be able to go to the gym or any of these things. I was a dancer for many years. As an adult, I started dancing in my adult years, and I danced for 7 or 8 years. And it was the same thing. The steps,
yes,
the dance steps,
yeah,
that you learn over and over, and you repeat until they just become just,
yeah,
absolutely a part of you.
Yes,
and
you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I love about this. It really becomes a dance, and little children dance, Nadine. Little children have this body movement. They dance. There's no inhibitions. Mm-hmm. It's something that is stripped away from us later in life.
Yeah.
And so this might be considered a sanctioned form of slow dancing, which really, truly, when you think about dancing and the physical and physiological benefits that it has, it's the same thing here. And so that really, you know, even now in this conversation, you're reminding me again that there are going to be people who are going to follow me in the park, because I do this in the park now. I
yes.
haven't
yeah.
gone into the place where the people are, but they're a park that I actually go to. It's a beautiful little family park with green grass, and I stand over here in the part where no one else is, and I'm doing the movements myself as my own way of getting confident and calm.
Yes.
To be able to go into a more public space. In my mind, Nadine, I envision that I have a sandwich board next to me that just simply says, join me.
Yes, yeah.
And that I could be one of those people leading these precious movements, really generating this precious energy through these exact, simple, slow, repetitive body movements that we're talking about today. And that is why I wanted to have a whole episode really dedicated to talking about one of the things that is absolutely a pillar in Qigong, which is body movement. Isn't this important?
It so is, isn't it? And I love that you reminded me then about, you know, when you practice the music. I used to play the flute years ago, and once upon a time a recorder, which everyone did in England when they were little, and it's scales. And I don't want to learn scales, I want to learn a song. You know, that's what I was like. But the scales, you know, doing that, it's there. It's your basic, isn't it? We've learnt that. And is it like, is it what they call a muscle memory? You know, once you've got that set, then it comes naturally, doesn't it? And this is what the practice is in so many things. And you said the word discipline there, and that it's not like that, but it is a bit of a discipline, isn't it? And the beauty that comes out of having a bit of discipline, a practice, something to fall back on, you know, well, we've done this, so it's there for us in the moment when we need it. We've got that peace, we've got that calm, we've got that elixir of life, we've got what we need to carry us through. And that's why I say a practice in the morning, because it sets me up for a better day. It's part of my positive morning routine, and I'm a different person if I don't do it. It really is there. So again, that practice, you know, we start with the simplicity of it and we just work our way through. And I think keeping with it, everything, I like to be simple. And it is simple, and it's that's the beauty, isn't it?
Yeah. It definitely is. Again, if you're in a what I call a stressed and stretched way of life or time of life or way of being, and you hear a conversation like that, immediately you say, that doesn't apply to me. Ask me how I know, right? And so then you hear the word simple, you say, oh, it's simple for you. It wouldn't be simple for me.
Yeah, no, you're right. Good point.
Yeah, and I really want to speak to these people who are having the blocks, you know, the resistance to think that in our last episode, you know, we talked about the potential of having a balanced life. And I really want to say, you know, honestly, raise your hands and lower your hands. Raise your hands and lower your hands. There is a little bit more to it when you invoke the energy and understand what it is that is happening in the body movement. But honestly, right away, if you do that slow, simple movement and do what? Breathe. Then you will see that it is that simple and easy to perfectly position yourself between the sky above and the earth below. And so now you can see, Nadine, we're bringing in conversations that we've had throughout the podcast series.
How could we not? It's all connected, isn't it? So it's, yeah, and it's so true, isn't it? It is that, you know, none of it is difficult. Yes, there is the tendency to go, oh, it might be a bit boring, but it isn't, because you're in your perfect place. Like we say, you know, you're in that perfect place and it feels so good. But actually, it's what we need, isn't it? And again, when people might be resistant because they think they haven't got the time, it makes time, doesn't it? You know, we are masters of our own timetable, aren't we? So stopping that pause again so that we can move forward more productively. We stop, we do this, we come out of it a better, more productive, more focused person. And this is, again, the lesson, you know, that I've learned from it. Taking that time to do this and any other kind of practice that I involve in my life now, it's so worth it, because the rest of the day just flows so much better.
Nadine, what you just shared reminded me of something that has been game changing for me. And that is, how long is 1 minute? In our lives, when we live busy and frenzied in chaos, when we have so much, all that huge business, family, you know, all the other things, all the stuff going on in the inner world, a minute passes by so quickly. It's like, oh, you know, I blinked and it was gone. Not me, Nadine. Don't tell me I blinked and it was gone. I blinked. I'm in my methodology in conscious awareness, and a minute can be so much longer than you believe. Yeah. And to test this theory out, take your time, set your timer, and start doing some slow breathing and just lift your hands and lower your hands. Lift your hands and lower your hands. If you want, you can do a sweeping gesture around the back, just slowly for a full solid minute, and you will see how long a minute is.
Yeah.
I feel like I have gained time. I've added time into my life through these practices that I have been practicing for many years, even though it's only more recent that I've been called a Qigong, you know, what it is.
You've been
called.
Doing it without a name, haven't you?
So again, we're at the end of this episode. I want to thank you so much for this conversation. I want to invite our friends to just ask themselves one question. Can I take a pause for 1 minute? Can I move my body in a simple and quiet way for just 1 minute? And let's see how that 1 minute serves you of slow body movement.
Perfect.
All
perfect.
Right, thank you.
Thank you so
thank you
much.
Again, I will look forward to our next conversation.
Me too. Thank you.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye.